Before we go today, the Motormouth commentator, Katie Hopkins, was crowned runner-up on Friday night's Celebrity Big Brother final. Big, big ratings for that show. Lots of you have been watching it. Labelled the most hated housemate ever when she entered the house a month ago. She changed the views of quite a few people, but did she change yours? Well, I've been speaking to her about her shock at losing out to the glamour model, Katie Price. Bit of bitching going on there. But first, let's hear her final moments in the Channel 5 house.
Either Katie Hopkins or Katie Price is about to be crowned your winner. I can now reveal the housemate with the most votes and the winner of Celebrity Big Brother is...
Oh, come on, Emma!
Katie Price! Katie Hopkins, congratulations! You are this year's runner-up.
All you have to do is walk down some stairs.
I know, what a shocker, what a shocker. But then I think we have to remember, don't we, you know, this wasn't the 800 metres final in the Olympics. This was just the final of Celebrity Big Brother. And ultimately, against a whole bunch of nutters, I probably was going to do OK. But yes, Katie Price winning was something of a shock.
You've called her boring.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things in the house. You know, you had to decide what you were going to be. Either you were going to keep your head down beneath the parapet and not get your head shut off and not ever get put up for nomination, or you were going to speak your mind, speak out and be one of the people that had an opinion and had the courage of your convictions. And Katie Price was just kind of, boring, I guess, irrelevant, didn't join in on any conversation, didn't get involved in any debate, said she wanted to be everybody's friend and pretended to be so by being completely vanilla, and I can't stand vanilla.
Is this a pantomime fallout, or did you really not like her?
No, we didn't get along at all. And certainly she would say inside the house, we didn't get along. She hung out almost exclusively with Keith Chegwin, also one of the most boring men in Britain. And they talked about horses, the countryside. And that was about the limit of her
conversation. Come on, what are you getting having to go with Keith for? Is he not a nice guy?
No, not a great guy at all, actually. I know everybody thinks it's the pantomime, Keith Chegwin, National Treasure, etc., but ultimately, he is a massively competitive man. His agent was hoping the show would do great things for him. He was banking on winning the show. He's banking on it raising his fee for Panto next year. And ultimately, when he was put up for nomination by five of us, he lost the plot a bit. He didn't wash, didn't shave, didn't shower, stopped doing any chores around the house and had to be called to the psychiatrist to check he was okay.
Why do you call him the most boring man in Britain?
Because he really is dull. I mean, he loves a U-bend. He loves a bit of washing up. He's definitely got OCD cleaning issues. And we were allowed the Hoover for 30 minutes a week. And that was his highlight, really, that 30 minutes. He even asked if he could keep it to Hoover inside the cupboards. Now, you've got to worry about a man that wants to Hoover inside a cupboard.
Yeah, you're having a go at these people for being competitive. You're competitive.
I'm competitive about, you know, things to do with industry, things to do with commerce, things that matter. But inside the Big Brother house, for me, it was all about finding the fun.
Tonight, you will pass judgment on the rest of the celebrity housemates.
I'd rather stay here than go out there with that bunch of freaks.
I really, really like Katie Hopkins, and she likes to get her opinions black and white.
Some little child in Indonesia probably made that.
Well, it's a job. Don't like fat people. Don't like unemployed people.
She'll never bite her tongue.
You know, my husband said I should go in there and see it as the pursuit of happiness. And I try my best, you know, to find the fun, to make sure that I squared up against the bullies, to make sure that I took certain people out at the kneecaps, and to try and get the people I couldn't stand kicked out of the house.
Well, who do you
possible.
Reckon you took out at the kneecaps?
Well, I like to think that Nadia didn't do so well, courtesy of my gracious attitude towards her and her very impertinent attitude towards me. You know, ultimately, she is the all-time woman that I would hate. She has curly hair. She is an earth mother. She talks about breastfeeding ad nauseum. She home birthed both of her children.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, that's shocking, darling. Shocking. Who does that sort of stuff? She's still talking about the birth of her children, despite the fact that they're like 21 and 25. And she reads The Guardian. So essentially, she's everything I hate. She said she would only be voted out of the house because people loved her so much they would want to free her from hell. Now, really, that is delusional.
And then you've got Kitty Price, of course. Hugely successful businesswoman.
You can't knock that. You know, that bird has made a bob or two in her time, and I would always say she can sell more books than any other. She sold more books than Stephen Fry, I think. You've got to give her kudos for that. But what I don't give her kudos for, I suppose, is, you know, she forks out, I think it's $4,500 a month to have her horses looked after at a stables. Two of her horses are worth $150,000 each. I don't mind that at all. If you've got money, go for it, spend it, do what you want. But she uses taxpayers' cash to get a couple of her kids to school because they're on a statement. You know, that is not right. Also, she went into that house with one of her boobs literally falling out of her body. She had a 2-inch hole.
That's none of your business.
Well, it is one of my business because I had to go in the shower with her, Stephen Nolan, and wash her hair for her. So when I'm stood in the shower with someone whose tit is falling out of their body, it becomes my business. And also, she smelled like, you know, that weird smell that you get around dead pets or people. That smell was around her because her boob had become a festering sore that had started to go kind of septic.
This is so bitchy, isn't it?
I think it's truthful. I don't mind she won. I really don't mind, but it was just...
You clearly do.
Well, I think it was working with someone who was just not in a fit state to do the job they were being paid for. I think that's probably what gets on my wick.
Why did you do it? Did you do the show just for the money?
I would say probably, yeah, there is a point where, and you have to acknowledge, you know, I've been asked to do the show for eons now, maybe 4 or 5 times. I think they've stepped up their game a little bit. I think it's actually become marginally, and you know, underline, marginally more credible. They were really pleased, for example, they booked Patsy Kensit, who is utterly bonkers, but they like the name, so that's lovely. I think for me, it is something to do with the fact that when you realise that and recognise that, you know, a large percentage of the British public are paid £28,000 to £35,000 a year, if you're lucky enough to have a job, there comes a point where once you're offered in excess of, you know, a few hundreds of thousands to do something...
Is that what you got?
Well, you're not allowed to talk about your fee, but all I'm trying to say is at the point where you're offered quite a lot of money to go somewhere and sit on your ass for a month, there comes a point where you can't look people in, like, for example, my husband, there comes a point where you look at him in the face going, yeah, I probably ought to dig in, shut up, stop moaning and get in there. And that's what I've done. You know, that's what I've done. And I'm pleased I've done it. You know, I went in the most hated housemate ever to go into the Celebrity Big Brother house, and I've come out looking marginally less of a cow.
You're like the ADHD kid that didn't get their meds. All I hear you do is moan. It's too hot, it's too cold, you didn't sleep.
Where's my bed?
You don't know your shape.
Till I taught her, yeah.
It can be harsh and incredibly cruel to people.
I'm not in here to make friends. I don't care.
You are pathetic.
Why should I say she's bloody rude?
It's better to enjoy yourself than be a grumpy old kid's heart. Don't lecture us on morality.
Don't turn around and tell me.
Don't tell
what
me.
To do. We don't know who the real price is in here yet.
I was in America. I go back and forward to America quite a lot. And I was in America just a few weeks ago. And there was Kitty Hopkins popping up. and I thought, my goodness, you're starting this pantomime act of you being the bitchiest person in Britain. It's travelling across the water now.
Yeah, that was that my fat story?
Yeah.
I was going to come to the point of fat in a minute, Stephen, with you, actually. But yeah, thank you for that. My fat story, which was out in the UK in early January, sold now to 14 regions, including America. So it went to America on the 18th and 25th of January, and it was the 8th best programme for cable TV. So I was really delighted with that. I'm grateful.
And this is where you deliberately put on weight in order to lose it again. You put on how much altogether?
So I put on 4 stones. I went from 8.5 stone to up till 8.5, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, up to 12.5.
It's all off again, is it?
And then I've lost it all again, so I'm back to 8.5 stone. Now, how's your weight loss going, Stephen? Nolan?
Oh, well, I lost 7 stone and I've put 5.5 of it back on.
Oh, you silly arse.
So I'm just prime time fodder for you now, aren't I?
Stephen Nolan, why did you do that?
Because I like bad food and people like you talk absolutely nonsense.
You're so naughty.
When you say it's so easy. It's not so easy.
You're
it's
so
a nightmare.
Naughty. You went on the opposite journey to me and proved nothing, Stephen Nolan.
It's an absolute nightmare.
You proved
and it
nothing.
Really winds me up that people like you portray it as so easy.
I didn't portray it as
easy. In fact,
easy.
It's irresponsible of you.
Well, I feel like it just took a bit of dedication and commitment, these two qualities which you so clearly lack, Mr. Nolan. I'd like to spend some time with you and show you how it could be done.
Did you feel terrible with the 4 stone on?
Yeah. I mean, I did become a weeping, blubbering wreck. And I suppose that was the start of this kind of expose, that maybe there is another side to Hopkins other than just being a complete cow. And that eating donuts all day and drinking 10 litres of Mars milk didn't really do me any favours. And I stopped exercising and I became really miserable. But what it did teach me was that it's not a pleasant thing to be overweight. It's not a pleasant thing to feel uncomfortable in your clothes. And it's not a pleasant thing not to want to go out your front door because you're frightened people are going to laugh at the size of your ass. So I did learn a thing or two on my little journey as well. And I do understand that for you, it can't be that comfy now having put 5 stone
back. No, I've got to do it again. I've got to try again.
But I think you keep doing it by diet. And I would say to you, don't do that. I'd say stick on a Fitbit on your wrist or any other thing that monitors your steps and get your little bum moving and do 10,000 steps a day. That's all I ask of you.
What's next for you?
So next for me, I mean, as you can imagine, I suppose it's going to be a busy old place for a while with people wanting to do all sorts of strange things. Some people want me to spend a month on a nudist beach. That's not going to happen. Some people want Because getting naked's not that new to me, Stephen, now is it? And a few people want me to go to LA and spend a month getting beauty treatments doing in order to stop me being such a saggy-faced old hag. That's not going to be happening either.
Why not?
Because I don't mind looking like a woman should look maybe around 40. Interestingly, actually, it's my 40th birthday in a little bit, and it's the same night as the release of 50 Shades of Grey. So I don't know if that's an omen for my sex life for the next 20 years or what.
Are you interested in work in America? Is that where you're aiming?
Yeah, I think the great thing about, I know we don't know a lot about TLC over here. You know, I guess my fat story was their best show yet since the launch of the channel. So for me, I suppose my natural home is TLC and Discovery because they can take you to the States. And because the sorts of programmes I like to do need somewhere that have freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Unfortunately, America is still blessed with those two traits and something, sadly, that Britain is starting to lack. But, yeah, I would like to do something with them. There's lots of offers on the table, as you might imagine. I'm very grateful for those. And I will be able to update you with which one we're going to go with as soon as I know. But, yeah, so it's exciting times, I suppose, for me. And I would like to say, in a more sincere way, that to all the people that spent their money voting for Celebrity Big Brother, and particularly, well, for anybody on it, to be honest, but also for me, I am really grateful. That was a lot of money people spent, and I'm really sorry that I didn't win it on behalf of the people that spent all of their cash voting.
And just finally on that show, finally, because you've done it now, you've got your money, it's in the bank.
Of course.
Does that show have any credibility left?
You know, I think it certainly took a dive, didn't it? And I would always say it was a dive of a show, and that would be the reason I rejected it for 3 or 4 years running. But I think now it's probably on the up, and they've, you know, this series was the biggest series ever. This series was their highest viewing figures ever, And this series was certainly the most watched and the most talked about and had the most social media interaction. So I suppose on those statistics, Channel 4 may be kicking themselves a little bit, and I can see the next, not the summer series, because that's always a bit naff, but certainly the next winter series could be really great, as long as they come up with the cash.
She's funny, she's witty.
I don't think you're perfect.
She's funny. Katie's funny.
My time in the house has been like a good book. It's had a good start, a strong middle, but a brilliant end.
So for me, do you know what? It was a great experience. Living with Michelle Visage and Callum Best was actually something of a treat.
Did you make of Callum?
Yeah, he's a really solid, solid individual.
Really solid, all right, isn't he?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. that isn't a difficult place to be, is living in, near and around, mostly naked, Callum Best. That's not hard. But he is he's a good lad. And actually, he's got a wise old head now on those young shoulders of his, broad shoulders, muscly shoulders of his. And I really admire him. And to be fair, he stuck up for me quite a lot in that house. And he doesn't like to see ladies talked to in a disrespectful manner. He has a certain old-fashioned kind of, there's a chivalrous nature to him, which is really rather charming. So I'd say a big up for Callum Best.
Kitty, always nice to talk to you, and thank you for doing so.
That's absolutely my pleasure. Have a good show.
Thank you, Kitty.
Speak to you later.
Have a good show. The show's over. Thank you for talking to us today. Thank you for listening to us today.